I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 17th of May, 2020. As always, I'm glad to hear from the various people across the world to get their opinions on how these, really what they've fathomed about this whole fracas, this engineered hoopla, which is not about it. It took years to plan what's happening today. Governments don't act quickly, believe you me. And I think what a guy in government told me that years ago, he said that government goes round corners on square wheels. In other words, it lumbers, is very slow to get into gear and to get operating in any in degree of efficiency at all. But when you see this whole WHO, the WHO plan being unfurled step by step by step, it was planned years and years ago, and you saw too the coordination on television stations. I don't see TV, but I can get little clips once in a while when my internet gives me enough speed, and I can see the governors of different states and so on coming out on board with the whole WHO agenda and saying exactly what the parrot, literally the same speech from the WHO, which means they're all in it. They've all sworn to go along with it regardless of the consequences and the public backlash to it too, which doesn't bode well for the world. And I can smell it coming. They won't back off now, you understand, even when it dies off. And it'll kick back a bit and die off a bit and kick back a bit. That's how the last few flus came and went, too, the same way. They spike and then they go dwindle way down, and they come back a little bit in the following flu season. It's always in the flu season because these coronavirus is like the flu season. And, of course, they die off again after about 3 years or so. So it's following a traditional pattern. But it won't matter because there's and that's what's so obvious here today, isn't it? It's so obvious that the whole agenda is being unfurled for a whole new way of living. And you're getting the announcements from your new masters, Bill Gates and all the rest of them who've declared themselves the masters of the universe. Without your vote, of course. And they've got all the airtime in the world because they can pay for it quite easily. All these top TV companies and news organizations and newspapers, too, the old newspapers, take big amounts of money from Bill Gates, for example. I'll touch on that in an article tonight, in fact. But I like to hear the opinions from people in different countries as to what they've witnessed. And it's a uniformity, really, that I've noticed already of the articles in all the countries and the opinions of people who are witnessing and living through it. They're seeing the same things I'm seeing here and the same things that people in the States are seeing, the same agenda, step by step by step, and the massive cover-up to a lot of the chronology that's going on. Because there's an awful lot of chronology going on, especially with the testing, etc., and the fudge numbers. Once you get into fudging the numbers, folks, and it's been found over and over again in all the countries, how they're all going into trying to validate the nonsense figures brought out by Neil Ferguson, that they're trying to validate it by increasing the numbers, by bringing down all kinds of deaths that happen all the time, every day, every year. Down as COVID. And once you do that, you're into falsification, and it's not scientific at all. It can't be remotely agreed upon to be scientific or objective, an objective study. So the credibility is pretty well gone for those in charge of it, but they won't back off because, as I say, this is a massive agenda. This is the excuse for the agenda. As I've said before, the World Economic Forum came out with it with amazing statements last year on how they'd have to really find other ways to really get through quickly the agenda for sustainability, which is depopulation, the Club of Rome and all the rest of them, including the group called Population Matters with Attenborough and all the rest of them out there, and Goodall, of course. The ones who have decided that you're just a scourge upon the earth, you people, you're a plague. It's very much like you saw in the Matrix movie where Morpheus is caught, he's captured by the agent Smith, was it, I think, and he's got him tied up in an apartment in a building, and he gets close to him. He takes his earpiece out because all these agents were all connected to each other. They're basically programs. But he takes it off, and he describes humans. And he says, "And you humans, you multiply and you expand and you take over space." He says, "You're a virus." He says, "Well, that's exactly the terms that have been used by those in Population Matters and in the big groups that do with sustainability and climate change. All these things are all one. It's one group, really. One group." Different names for different areas and speciality groups and so on, but it's one group with this. So again, the sworn agenda is depopulation, mandatory. The last meeting they had for sustainability and climate change, they actually said they'd have to go further, and this is official. I've read it before, and on my blogs too, and even when I was on the radio years ago, I read the articles out from these particular organizations saying that they'd have to go the next step, officially imprinted in the newspapers. It wasn't conspiracy theory, which is really mandating a form of population control. And here you go. And now you tie that in, really, with today, and you tie it in with eugenics. And, of course, these same people are really completely tied up with eugenics. And that's in their own histories and their bios and so on, a lot of them. Some of them are members of the old Darwin societies and eugenics. And you find they're quite open about it, to superior types, inferior types, etc., etc. And how they'd have to eliminate basically the useless eaters, as Lord Bertrand Russell called them. So we're living through an agenda. And long before this, I kept telling people, you're living through a script. And it doesn't take long, if you really are aware, it doesn't take long to catch on that so much of what you live through is scripted, including the last bank crash. Those in the know all saw it coming. And they got out of the bad stocks immediately. They had months to do it, and the public hadn't a clue. And then they brought out the president in the United States. Little Bush, they call him Baby Bush, you know. And he gave a talk on mainstream television and told the people, he says, you know, that this is going to cause a crash, what's happening in the economy, this massive debt and so on. And he said, it'll be worse, it'll be a lot worse than the Great Depression. Well, for anybody at the head of state to come out and say that had broken the cardinal rule. The cardinal rule is that you never tell the truth to the public unless you want to make that truth happen. Because stocks and shares, it's all to do with optimism and investment. If the head guy comes out and tells you that, it's guaranteed people would pull their money out and then you have a crash. That's exactly what happened. It was totally corrupt, of course, beforehand anyway. But you can still keep the con game going. We've been living on a cashless wonder society forever, since the gold standard was taken off years ago. And money's backed by nothing but confidence and faith, and therefore they have it, and God we trust on their bill, the dollar bill. But also, who is the God here, you know? And there are answers to that too. You might see the picture of one of them on that dollar bill itself. Anyway, we're living through a script, and they make things happen at the top because they're planned to happen. It's the same thing when you go back far enough and you look at 9/11 and you say, my goodness, you know, this. Apparently every intelligence agency on the planet knew it was going to happen. They warned about it. I recorded stuff at the time, little bits and bites from even the BBC and the head of GCHQ and intelligence talking about it right the day after, saying, well, this should never have happened. We warned America. Israel warned America. Everybody warned America. But America, of course, was run by the neocons, who just happened to want a Pearl Harbor event to get their agenda through and to take out the countries on the list. It's just, you can't brush this stuff off. You can't do it. You know? You really can't do it. But now you're living in such an era of total war against the public. We've been in total war for a while, if you haven't realized it. Most folk haven't. They think it's just starting now with the COVID nonsense. But it was on the go long before that. It's total war against the people. The population reduction groups, have been authorized to go to war with all of you and your children. And they're indoctrinating your children that way. They have been for years and years and years and years into what's called sustainability until they learn to hate themselves enough and not breed, you see. And if articles come out too, with actually, it's like a little new youth league where they actually publicise their statements in the papers where they vow never to have children. But these same ones will go after it, the adults, because they've been taught that you destroyed the planet for them. And they, of course, are the unpaid armies that follow behind the leaders of Extinction Rebellion. The leaders know what they're up they're on about and what they're really there for. And they have their private tuition given to them and their salaries too, but the followers don't, of course. They actually call them useful idiots, followers. All kinds of followers are called useful idiots by those who set up the organizations at the top. Yeah, much like, it's all Marxist theology in a sense. And I say theology because Marxism was really taught as a religion. You need a lot of faith to actually believe in it, especially the part about creating a utopia in the future, so where you'd all struggle in the meantime and starve yourself in austerity, but one day, of course, it's for a greater good for all. That was the whole theme of it. However, Marxism also, a whole new way of living, a brand new way of living, with the elimination of the old system. Everything would be born new. That meant elimination of marriage initially too. And Lenin had brought on a woman, that's a whole history in itself, but to be the head of the really anti-marriage movement. And she basically was the head of a whole new department that would encourage and teach young girls not to get married, and how to even bring in abortion and so on, and accept it as a natural method of birth control if they wanted to have relations with men at all. But then they quickly found out in the Soviet Union that this wouldn't do, because then you'd have children growing up without dads, and that took away the woman from work. And so they eventually, after a while, she'd say, after giving this woman lots of awards, the Soviet Union was like any other technocratic system, gives lots of awards to their officials at the top and their civil servants, but eventually they had to really kick her out because they needed families to look after children to raise the next crop for the military and to make things work. So it didn't last too long there. But again, they did believe in a scientific rule. That's the key to it all, that experts would rule the world and every facet of human existence and manage everything in a proper, efficient manner, of course. And that's what you're going into today. So those who are the spokespeople for depopulation, the eugenics types, and they belong to all the different old Darwinian groups too for eugenics. It still exists today, by the way, and you can actually look it up yourself to see the names on some of it. And some of them in the human population movement, population control movement, their names are all there listed there naturally. Well-known people. A lot of them too used to do television series for years and years. That's a famous way they came out with a long time ago. Even when Julian Huxley was on the go, they thought they'd have to get to the young children, get into their heads quickly, and use all techniques they could possibly use. First it was radio, and then books and magazines, but they came out with television, and then immediately you had all these wildlife programs, and they made heroes, just like the scientists were made heroes by the star-making machines, so you'd follow them. They did the same thing with the wildlife characters too. In Canada, of course, everybody knows the ones in Canada, David Suzuki, another eugenicist, and he's also a geneticist. You know, they always go together like that. And in Britain, you had Attenborough, David Attenborough, and different people there too. Every country's had got their versions of them. To get you really involved, to get an idea, the nature is very important, which no one would deny. However, then they go into towards the last 20 years, starting to jack up. There's too many people. It's interfering with wildlife and the terrain and the planet, etc. And then it's mixed up with climate change, which is their big thing. It fell apart, of course. They tried to get to the coming ice age. That was back in the 1960s. They banked on it being an ice age, and they could blame us all for causing it. And it didn't work out. So then they switched into the reverse and went to global warming. That didn't pan out either. And so there's change to climate change eventually, which so you can't lose, really. Huh? So that's what you're living through, a big agenda. And the public, of course, are still consuming and buying because the system's set up to consume and buy. I've been talking about this for years and years, how eventually they'd force you into, well, here you go. You can go into austerity, where you like it or not. You're already in it. Whatever comes out the end of this mess here, this sausage machine, is all manufactured and planned in advance, and it's going to be a sustainable future for those who control all. Although they'll live way above you, of course, naturally they always do, in their lifestyle, and they'll have good health because they'll have best food and organic stuff and all right. But you won't, you see. And they'll have access to meat products, which they always do, you know. Just like Julia said in 1984, those bar stewards, I said bar stewards, they always have, they got everything. There's nothing that they lack at the top. But that's the way it's always been. Same in the Soviet era, the ones who at the top hadn't lacked for nothing at all. They had all the same food and clothing, lifestyle and music and so on, and entertainment, technology, electronic technology, as everybody else in the West, and their salaries were equivalent to. So that's how the world really is run, folks. Lots of guises to force you into austerity while the same crew live high in the hog, and you are supposed to start to become depleted because your usefulness is over. Like I said years ago, you're now classed as obsolete. They don't need you. You're the useless eaters of Bertrand Russell. You're also the weeds of Margaret Sanger, because she actually referred to the children, excess children, and well, what can you say? It can go on forever. However, what is fascinating, as I've said, is getting the feedback from people all over the planet who let me know what they've seen in their areas and how it's affecting them themselves and how they see it affecting other people. Right down to the interesting little parts of how folk are adapting to it. Adaptation is awfully important, because you've been trained to adapt and adapt and adapt, and you're treated just like children. Actually, you're treated like lab rats, to be honest with you. Years ago, I gave talks on what do you think these labyrinths and lab rats were for. It wasn't because they wanted to make a better species, make lab rats happier. It was to find out what works with all kinds of mammals, basic stuff and so on. And it's surprising how much you've got in common even with a rat when it comes to basic necessities like food and water, believe you me, and the things you'll do perhaps to get it. But no, they're always studying the public, and we are under the microscope. We've never had freedom, as you think of it. You've had an era of a little bit of more cash in your pocket, or at least cheaper goods to buy, put it that way. That cash hasn't really gone up so much because its value is constantly going down. What you can purchase, you need more and more of the paper to buy the same things. And that's because the money's backed by nothing. You really don't need world wars to change society, although they like that too. It's handy for them. And they've written lots and lots of books about it at the top, how they can use wars or plagues, for instance, where they can take over a kind of martial law type scenario and force a new system to come, as they're doing right now. They boasted about it, they're boasting now about it, how it's been planned and how every business will open up in the future will eventually, maybe very shortly by the way, will be stamped and approved as sustainable and green and all the rest of it, and harmless to society or nature. So these are these techniques to change the world, and as I say, it was planned a long time ago. It didn't just suddenly happen. you're also finding the connections in some countries more tightly knit with China than other countries. And Canada, of course, was being left-wing for such a long, long time now, really, that and gone left-wing since Pierre Trudeau was on the go. And even before that, a lot of the civil service was left-wing, even during World War II and afterwards, but that's a different story. But since Pierre Trudeau had gone left-wing, 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 until literally, I think they almost praised China for being communist and having a total control over its population. And over the years, I've lost count of the incredible fawning of TV in Canada, when I used to watch television, but I'm sure it's just the same today from the articles you can see on the internet, the praising of China, because they actually idealize it, because that truly is a technocratic type system, where a small elite at the top and then bureaucrats underneath them and academia working together manage off the public, and the public don't really have the freedom of individual rights. And that's the key to it, individuality that the West has. And when this COVID-19 started in Canada, there were cries in the newspapers here to get a technocratic group in right away, a technocracy in right away, people who would deal with it properly, you see, and just overrule and manage on behalf of government as in a wartime scenario. And bingo, there you go. That's how you do it. That's how you literally wipe away years and years, maybe even centuries, of pressing and pushing for democratic rights for individuals. We're not a collectivist society in the West. China is a collectivist society. You don't find so much in their history either, individuality. And even in their stories, even in their fiction and so on, that individuality isn't really there. It's a different culture altogether from the West. And it works well for China, but it doesn't work for anybody else, and we shouldn't try to emulate it at all, in fact. Because if you don't have individual rights, then horror takes place in the name of many other things, and you don't want to go down that track, including what's happening with the statements put out by the top. Again, Theresa Tam, the health czar of Canada, has stated that, there are ways to force people to be tracked and traced and so on, and including the bracelet. She mentioned that in a documentary quite a few years back, but they're still available, and I put up the links last week, I should say, of her actually saying this. And there's a movement in Canada now to try to get her removed from her position, because she's one on the board of the WHO. Well, she's supposed to serve Canada, not the WHO. We don't vote for WHO. We don't. We don't vote for Fauci either in the States. And so we have to start to regain her rights to look after ourselves in such circumstances. This chaos that's been deliberately is a key to manufactured, that never in history have you locked down a good chunk of the world, never mind one individual country, and literally isolated all the healthy people by forced quarantine. It's unheard of. It doesn't make sense at all, which tells me it's got a different purpose altogether. I don't care how it's trying to rationalize. This is not the big killer disease that they're talking about. And it's disgusting. And I really, if any reclamation of rights at all after this, I can only hope there'll be real big trials with the characters involved put on public display in trials for what's happening and what's happened, and the total destruction of the economies that are not meant to be regained, by the way. They're rejoicing at this at the top, for the sustainability crowd. And a Club of Rome, too. They're all one big clique, as I say, special. They're just branches of the same big organization. And the Bilderbergs and so on. It's one organization with different branches, of special branches, that's all. And the Club of Rome has been quite open about it, about the fact that they will be monitoring, or the organisations to monitor the reopening in a sustainable fashion, which of course is the same group as the WEF, the World Economic Forum. The stuff that they've published too, but the same thing. So it's their big war agenda. This is a war on the public, and when you fudge and fudge and fudge the numbers and statistics just to put anybody down who possibly might have it as a coronavirus, to try to pad the numbers to justify what they've done, is beyond desperation, if you ask me. It truly is. And I've gone through the figures before in previous talks, that the published figures from governments and government health departments and the different statistics of births and deaths and so on in different countries. And really, what we haven't exceeded for most of the countries, we haven't exceeded the deaths for the regular flu season. And I've even padded that with other deaths too, to try and get up the COVID ones. It's just not working at all. And they even got Neil Ferguson that honestly, if you ever lost money and you went to the lost and found department, say a police station or something, and if you were asked how much money did you have in your wallet, you would want Neil Ferguson there, because he'd probably say about 10 billion, you know. The guy's never seen a massive number that he didn't like. He's got quite imagination. It's all done with computer models, just like and of course they work too with the climate model groups in England, the famous one, the groups in universities. And it's astonishing to see them repeatedly put out the same massive figures. These computers are really sold with programs saying, you know, what kind of numbers are you looking for, big ones or small ones? And I'll come up with whatever you want. It can only do what you feed into them, you see. So it's amazing that we're supposed to just bow down to these guys and their computerized gods, you know, the electric, as I say, T-R-I-C-K, the trick of the elect, because that's the trick they're using to con everybody, is computer modeling. And they don't back off and readjust their programs once they're caught out on it. They'll use them again and again. It's phenomenal. I've got articles here even to Sweden. They were using Neil Ferguson's projected models there, and they'd have been wiped out, supposedly, according to Neil Ferguson's program. It wiped out a good part of the Swedish population if they followed what they eventually did follow, which is basically the limited quarantine type system, just and hardly any social distancing. But supposedly that was going to finish them off, but it didn't. It's astonishing. Why am I supposed to bow down and believe these guys? And then they'll do it again and again and again with their terrible models. If you have even chance involved, half the time something should be in your favour and half the time against you. That's theoretically again. But you expect that kind of thing to happen. How come these same guys, same people, are consistently wrong? I mean, Neil Ferguson was wrong with the mad cow disease, as they called it. It wiped out the entire livestock for the entire British nation, when it's not even confirmed yet that that's what a few people had from eating meat. It's not even proven yet. Because we designed something similar in World War II in Canada that would eat the brains of cattle. And it was declassified in Canada's secret war, you know, Deadly Allies, I think it was called. So you see this thing cropping up in Britain, and they go to Neil Ferguson, you know, and he uses his computer, and there you go, the projected models will kill most of the population in Britain off if you don't kill off the livestock. When you kill off the livestock, you start killing off the population of Britain, folks. It's the same nonsense you're hearing today. And Ferguson again was wrong with the flu in 2009 and 10. The same thing, you know. And all the big pharma groups and vaccine groups were up at go. They'll get their hands out again. Oh, this is Klondike time again. the gold rush as governments are dishing out money, like taxpayers' money, and they make millions and millions of shots for a flu that faded away by itself, and then they had to ditch millions of these things because nobody wanted them. So this time they're really enforcing, they're going to try and make you take it. But you still have got laws. Once they go beyond the laws and your choice is taken from you, you're no longer living in any semblance of democracy. Democracy still exists even in wartime, folks. It's not closed down completely. If you do, the people, it would stop the war, the external war, and start fighting the people inside their own countries, obviously, because you've had a coup. A coup has taken place, or a revolution. And I mentioned last week, it really is a revolution. A revolution is different from a rebellion. A rebellion, you try to, some new laws being passed, it's going to take more money from you or something, and folk rebel against it. Or you're forbidden to practice your religion. That's what happened with different rebellions in Britain and parts of Europe in the Middle Ages and later. You'd have rebellions when kings or whoever, queens, tried to stop the people worshipping the way they wanted to. Because we have this ingrained idea that we're supposed to have choices in the West. That's the difference. We have choices and the right to exercise our choice, you see. When it's taken away from you, you're no longer in any kind of democracy or free society. You're under tyranny. That's simple as that. I think it was George Washington said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." And people can complain and argue about the founding fathers, but the fact is they knew history. They had great educations back then, by the way. And they learned it very well. The simple, tried and true techniques were very old of teaching children. And they understood. They understood the world, understood history, they understood tyranny, understood how tyranny takes over and how it's implemented. And how to recognize it. They understood, they debated the whole idea of what government even was, what was it there for. But that was it. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force like fire. It's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. So there you go. They knew, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed except the size of government and the organizations that graft themselves on to the government like appendages or tumors even. First to help government to decide what to do on things like the foundations. You know, we're think tanks that advise governments. Well, you don't vote for these think tanks, and there's nothing out there that is not corrupted, especially anything that grafts itself on. We also have organizations for sustainability that graft themselves onto every local council. And we didn't vote for them. Most of the folk don't even know what happened. You know that? This is a big takeover of a war. Well, that's what I'm saying. A rebellion is where you rebel against something changing. You want to keep the old system, but something's happened that you're not happy with and you rebel. Or more's demanded of you, like taxes or something like that. Whereas revolution is a planned, generally a planned and organized, complete overthrow of the system for something else, to begin a new system. Well, the people who have been on at you for years and years, that have constantly talked about and read their articles for you from the think tanks and organizations themselves, this is their revolution against you, to bring in their new system, their new world order, their new post-consumerist and post-democratic society. They're quite open about it. They don't tell you, "Oh, we're having a revolution for ourselves," right? No, they couch it in different words, but it's still plain to see if you have not brainwashed. It's in your face what it really is. The fourth industrial revolution is one term they use too. It's post-industry. The last one we had was post-industrial too, but it also gave you a service economy. The public didn't want a service economy. It was just foisted upon them through global meetings. You don't vote for those in global meetings. You don't create the G7, G8, and all their G-whizzies. Yeah, the fact is, it was done quietly, and most of the people think it's all official. No, it's not official. Not when big think tanks are part of them. You don't vote for the think tanks. There's a private think tanks. They have their own mission statements of what they exist for in their own right, as opposed to what you, as a member of a society, think society is all about. Completely opposed to you. And the biggest problem they've always had at the top in the West is people obeying them. This idea of having rights, individual, really is a not. They can't sleep because of it. They get ulcers, you know? A society that won't do what they're told. And I've got the little clips I've been watching, as you see on my very intermittent internet. It's a different story again. Because everyone's cashing in on this COVID thing and getting big handouts from government, including the internet that I'm on, as a satellite system. And what they're doing is expanding their bandwidth to everybody, because they're more focal home, they said. And they'll give you extra gigs per month. Which is no use, because they've slowed this down so much, you can't get your normal, you're paying for normally. You can't even use all that. You can't get streaming. It's cutting off all the time. Con artists everywhere through the greed society, eh? It's incredible. But getting back to what I'm saying here is, the revolution's on the go. Your post-service economy, pretty well. It'll be a limited service economy. And a service economy, I've said before, you just import things from China and the West. Your same masters and the WEF and all the rest of them set up China to be the manufacturers for the planet. It wasn't done by the public. The public had no input at all into the whole affair. We paid for their factories to ship over and businesses to ship over. We paid for them, you know, losses they incurred for years, for 15 years, they said initially, which could be doubled again if they had made up what they thought they may have lost in the transfer over to China. We paid for all, and we lost all the jobs. And all the other tiers and tiers of manufacturing that go up to a finished product, from raw ore all the way up to finished products, that's a lot of businesses gone in factories. We had no say at all in that. It was done by the politicians who did dutifully what they're told by the CFR in the US, Royal Institute for International Affairs, for the rest of the world, European Institute for International, all one big group, by the way. And the Far Eastern Pacific Rim group, the Asian group as well. Oh, one group, one private group, set up all the transfers of wealth to China and the manufacturing to China. We paid for it all. And now you're paying for it again. You're getting stiffed for what for even being so stupid as to put them over there. But not really stupid, because those at the top set up China to be the model for the world to emulate. They salivate when they see people jumping in and obediently doing what they're told. They really do. And they're quite open about it. Something else. It really is something else to watch all happening. And the people complying, because fear, terror, it's not just fear, it's terror. You're living through a reign of terror with the COVID idea. And there's no doubt something's out there, but really, even Fauci said it myself at one point, it could be no worse than a bad flu season. And but they're really making much more hay out of it than a flu season, aren't they? This is planned, obviously, years ago. Because the last two big scares they gave us didn't work either. We kind of ignored it and continued, and we didn't fall apart. And yet folk will die, every year we die with flus and things. When you're a certain age, your immune system gets weaker and weaker, and eventually something, as I say, makes you a cropper, and that's you gone. But this thing really has been vastly overstated, and the treatments that would normally give to pull even the older folk through were not even, they were abandoned. It's just astonishing. The staff all know this. Because it's not a scary thing to treat at all, and there are standard methods to do so, and they're being ignored. You don't stick people on ventilators and watch them die. That's what they say in New York has been happening. They're sticking them on ventilators, and that's it, pretty well. Huh? In Britain, they pulled a woman, 102 years old, I think it is. She's a dame, or whatever they call them over there. She'd actually worked for Winston Churchill in World War II. And a bit of a celebrity in her own right, in her own time, and she got it. It went into intensive care, and they pulled her through. So, I mean, come on here. They know what treatments to give them. They know, too, they can give them plasma. You've got a good part of the Hasidic community in New York who've recovered from it, having it themselves. They came into Pennsylvania to donate the blood for plasma, because it's got the antibodies against it, you see. That this isn't a horror show that's been made out to be. It's a lack of treatment, which is understood and recognized. It's not brand new treatment that does work. It's very effective. Not just the plasma, there's other stuff they give them too. Very effective. But it's been held but withheld. And that's what some of the nurses have been saying on YouTube, is that they're murdering them. They're sticking them in these rooms. The staff are terrified to go in. And they're not being prescribed the medications, etc., for the treatments they should be getting. But yes, this thing definitely is taking people that are really obese and very old, and who've got high blood pressure and had cardiac problems, and possibly have badly diabetic if they're obese. But that happens too in the flu seasons. The same kind of people are hit by them too. But the hay that's been made is you'd swear, that millions had died in Canada and millions had died in America. Hasn't happened. But the hands are still out as millions and billions of dollars get dished out to the big pharma and organize it, including the tracers. That's your new Stasi groups, if you haven't figured it out. It was really just taken after the Stasi. The Stasi had about a few million people permanently at any one time employed by them to snoop on everybody else's activities in the communist West Germany. And that's what you've got here now. There's articles where some of them boast of the techniques they've learned, how to get into people's heads, basically meet them and be friendly with them and get the gossip and find out what's going on and yada, yada, yada. And then they might get snippets of someone that might have complained of being unwell, and then they can get the tracer sent out to pick them up and yada, yada. This will be used. Understand, what you're seeing is a permanent movement here. This is not a temporary thing. And it's a permanent movement being set up like an inland army. As I say, a Stasi-type system that will be used for everything else, including, I've already seen the articles, some of them put up by the governors of states in America. It's, I don't know what it is, but they remind me of really nasty old school teachers. Really. Just dictating to the people and forgetting completely you're supposed to be living in a form of democracy. The states is a democratic republic. But that term, democracy, is the rights of individuals and the rights to vote and decide for yourselves, not to be ruled over. Ruling is different from being governed. China is ruled, you see. We're supposed to be governed, but by our consent and with our consent. That's a big, big difference. And you don't stick electronic bracelets on people. They're just manacles, electronic manacles. They'll be used for many other reasons, including this internal army as well. Because you don't trust the public. Is that the idea? You don't trust the public to report what's happening with the disease. Now, this is going to be used for other reasons, obviously. Obviously, folks. And once they start, you won't get rid of them. And then you'll really be paranoid. The Soviet system, everybody, they used to walk past, all big cities are the same, like Moscow. But there, of course, people really didn't want to make eye contact at all. Because you just didn't trust anybody. Everybody's paranoid down. And that's what's been foisted upon the public in the West as we go through this nonsense here too. Quite amazing, isn't it? Tried and true techniques by tyrannical systems are now here, all under the guise of saving the people. Mm-mm-mm. That's how they always say it. It's always to save the people. And then defend the system from the people, or certain people. And here you go with it all. Mm? And folk are watching way too much news. Way, way too much news if they're watching television. Some people have got in touch with me who admitted that. This incessant, is it 24-hour COVID channels? And I've given the talks over the years of how your psyche works, how your mind works, even with horror movies, even the most awful B-type or C-movies, you'll still watch them because it's to do with survival. And the primitive part of the brain kicks in. Oh my God, the person's going to get attacked with that monster behind them. And if you turn away or go off to the washroom, you might miss what happens. So really, see, you are projecting yourself into the movie and the character who's getting chased by the big boogie monster. And if you in real life, you see, if you looked away, for instance, if a bear was standing in front of you, for instance, you might be dead. It's a very simple technique that your brain will naturally tune right on. It's survival against all odds. And it's true, in a real life situation, a fraction of a second is all it takes for you to make the right decision or don't do it at all, make the wrong decision or miss the opportunity. So they know how it works. And that's why they use terror on the public. And then you get 24 hours a day terror. This might happen, but that might happen. And the figures might rise up to so many billion the people literally will lose their heads and go into complete immobility, where they're stuck between fight or flight. Complete stuck in between, a click mode, I call it, where they cease to function. They don't know how to fight. It's like the Pavlov's dogs. If I move to that corner, I'll get a shock. If I move to this other corner over here, I'll get a shock, until eventually you just have a breakdown. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. They know this at the top. They knew it before they started this whole idea of the pandemic and lockdown. They knew it would happen. They already had the teams. Even in the exercise they had, the Event 201, they already had gone through what would happen in a total lockdown, and they'd have psychiatrists on standby and psychologists, and they'd have all these articles they put in the papers and on television immediately. And they did. They had it all ready to go for this one. All ready to go. And all right down to the wartime, when folk can't get the food that they want, here's a great recipe for this and a great recipe for that. The same stuff that George Orwell talked about during World War II, he said after the war, he said one of his functions at the BBC was to convince the British to eat food that really wasn't fit for human consumption, and tell them it was much better for them. Well, you're right back at it again with the same techniques, the same liars, who won't be starving at the top, believe you me. They're having the revolution. That's what it is. And they've been quite open about where it's to take you into total sustainability, a post-democratic society, where you'll do what you're told if you want to survive at all. And right down to not just one vaccination here to come out of this. They want an annual booster shots for all vaccinations and all new kinds they haven't given you yet, you haven't even heard of. That's what's to do on your report card. So your report card is going to be your vaccination record that'll be in either in your skin itself or in your little electronic bracelet if you're a bad person. It'll have your record of what you have gotten, what you have refused or whatever. If you refuse it too, they won't let you get into stores to feed yourself. They've already said it. You won't get on a plane to have a flight. Then they'll say, well, we're not stopping you from moving. It just, you can't go on a flight, you know, if you don't take this shot. or you can't get to that particular store if you don't take this shot. You know, we're not stopping you, sir. This is the technique that's used as you're gradually barred from this place, that place, or that place. That's, by the way, what they used in China. They still use it today with a social credit system. Documentaries were put out a few years ago with some of the people who'd been blacklisted in China who didn't know it at the time. Some of them were journalists, because journalism, true, real journalism, is anathema to totalitarian regimes. And that's why you don't really have true journalists anymore in the West either. Not from the mainstream. They're all on board like an army of yes men and women for their master. And I mean their master, because Bill Gates, you'd be surprised how many newspaper organizations or news organizations he funds. Nothing is ever how it seems to be. Nothing out there at all is what it seems to be, in a sense. It really isn't. And that's how bad it truly is. And it'll stay that way until you individually. I gave this talk years ago, over 20 years now, and I said, it's not a mass movement thing. You can have movements, but they get infiltrated right away. And you have to put you down, which I keep thinking of Animal Farm, you know. When they had their constitution written out, and the pigs were in charge, and then the pigs would go up at night with a ladder and rub little bits of it out, such as the pigs will not sleep in human beds, and then they would add on to it, or rub something out, and they said with sheets, so they added with sheets on until they could get into the beds. You see little limbs in the bed. That's how it's done. You start to, so you set yourself off with your tenets of your organization, what you hope to achieve and what you're there for. But you'll be infiltrated right away, generally, right away. And you won't even see it coming. As people that will be so likable and so pleasing, and they'll take over a lot of the work. And we, oh, don't worry, I'll do that. And you're sure, oh, no problem. And next thing you know, when it comes to electing, or if they're a good psychopath, they'll turn the rest of them against you. The leader, that is, and then they become the leader. They get the rest to vote them in. That's how it's done. I've seen it for. This is a standard technique that's used. They get trained to do this, for goodness sake, you know. So the real way to do it is to, if you see your organization set up to do starting to sway off into some other area or being diffused. That's the term you use for it. You diffuse them. It's like the. We are a change movement, so eventually you started going into the climate change for all the sustainability. They've been taken over completely. So when you see it swerving, that's what's happened. You see, you've been diffused and reassigned a new role. And the public who follow it often don't even. It's so cleverly done that it's almost like they sleepwalk right through the change until they're walking in a different direction. That's how it happens. And so I said that the only way you can do it is really be, have a real good eye on what your program is. It's almost like a mantra. You have to get a mantra as to why you exist and quote it every day. I guess it's kind of like the AA or similar organizations where you recite what you're there for, basically, and your purpose is, and you swear to follow certain guidelines, you see, and you name the guidelines. Otherwise, you're going to be subverted, taking over quite easily. That's how it happens. Very slick. That's how it happens. But anyway, we're living through it, and individually, you make a difference, because your time is going to come. It's already happening. Where you've got to start being a nuisance. It's like passive resistance, the Gandhi technique. Although Gandhi didn't say passive resistance, he says those who don't want to fight, then don't fight. There's other ways to do passive resistance. And that's by like lying down in the middle of the road and stopping cars and trucks and all the rest of it. And you're not heading out violently against anybody. But regardless, as individually, that's how the changes happen. Because you're all going to get your turn, you see, to obey as more and more demands are laid upon you. And you only either say yes or no to it. And that's how things, they can't put, once they start putting people in prison, they can't put everybody in prison. You understand that? And when it's such a massive number, look at how the West use China right now. with the Uyghurs, how they're maltreated by China, and they're hated because they won't give up their religion and just blend in with China. And same with Catholicism, where they did a tremendous bashing in China, although apparently there's been some orders from the top recently to tell them to kind of go along with the Chinese government. But regardless, no totalitarianism. And again, the WHO and their mandate made it quite clear they're against religion, because it's religious folk who stand up against their vaccinations and their mandates. WHO is a part of the big global New World Order, folks. That's why it was set up. Every wing of anything to do with the United Nations is set up by those who run the world. They run the banks. They are the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations. They're private groups. But that's what's running the world right now. And you'll all get your chance, as I say, to capitulate and go under and kiss the rating of your masters, or stand up to them, even if they do put you inside. But like the Uyghurs, as I said, in China, they look at the West. Look what they're doing to those poor folk there. They're getting persecuted. Well, that's what will happen as well. And the word gets around fast when they start to persecute the people inside their own countries, because they've got an opinion which has been tabooed. We're not going to allow your opinion. And they've got all these different organizations out there hammering you, thousands of sock puppets and algorithms and real people, the armies like the 77th Brigade in Britain, cyber warfare, thousands of them working to hammer anybody with their own opinion about this whole affair, this fracas. It doesn't matter, you put up with it and you say no. You don't even have to explain why. You have the right to say no. You have the right to refuse. That's what makes you different from totalitarian regimes. But to hear some of these governors come out with the statements they're making and talking down to children like bad school children. Well, no, we are not school children, and we won't be talked down to by some idiot. And I mean idiot that truly believes that because the fostered rights that their bosses, and it's not the public that their bosses, but the ones who are running them, have given them, they can get away with it. No, they'll take pay one day as well. Do you realize how many folk are dying because they can't get into hospitals across the planet? And what's to come is pretty well guaranteed famine. Because the farmers aren't going either, most of them. The protein supply is being eliminated and the herds are being culled off. Milk has been put down sewers. And you only pay the price, you know. The piper's always paid. Guess what happens, right? Guess what happens. And it's known. I'm not seeing anything that isn't known by the big think tanks that planned all this. And the Event 201, etc. And all the other events of planned, and the Rockefellers that are still working with their bioethics groups to take over, by the way, right now. The same group that had their big plan for the future in 2010 or so, published with their innovations, etc., for the future. How you'd all have to adapt and do what you're told. Well, until they declare you're now living in a totalitarian regime, although they'll smooth it over by calling a different name, of course, then you have to stand up to it. Obviously, you have to, because hell is coming down. What do you think it's going to be like next year? If you can get through the winter, even, eh? What do you think it's going to be like next year? When there's more and more folks scrambling for less and less food? And then they'll come in with their rationing cards or whatever. You know, this is how they're going to do it, folks. Of course, they'll do it on your cell phones. That cell phone is your ID card anyway. And you buy it. You buy your own change. If they want to run your lives through their programs, they should give you the darn things for free. I said that with the computers too. It's all for their benefit, not for you. But anyway, that's what you're living through. It's a big, big plan. obviously pre-planned. They're all sworn, literally sworn, to, along with it. I mean, like hands together in a circle. That's how they've sworn to the death. That's what it seems like to me when they all parrot the exact same things. That's a military technique. That's what you saw with 9/11 when they all came out their meetings and said the same little short phrases.